Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Welcome back to Black.
Back that ass up.
My name is Yasmin, and
my name is Alicia Pascual Peña. Alicia de Sol Pascual Peña.
Yes, and then usually you'll hear like, and I'm Josanna, or
I'm Josie Tota.
I'm Josie. That's usually the three things that you would hear, but unfortunately today, you're going to be hearing.
Hey, and what's up?
You're wondering, who the fuck is that voice? Who the fuck is sitting in Josie's fucking seat? That's valid. That's fair. But for unforeseen circumstances, just filming, Fiona will be stepping in today.
Hey.
They are an icon. We wouldn't be able to do this show without them. So it is only appropriate that they get to hang out with us and chit-chat and kiki with us on the show. So I'm excited to have them here. Fee, how are you doing today?
Oh my God, I'm good. Thanks, Josie, for being so booked and busy doing the acting thing.
Yeah.
And letting me have a chance to come on. Just to let you guys know, I'm the associate producer on this show. So that's why I'm around. And I mean, I kiki with you guys just at the office. So excited to do it on the mic.
Yeah, but Gun to Your Head
is only right.
Gun to Your Head, is this your favorite show? And I am for gun control, but this, I will have a gun right now. Is it your favorite show that you've worked on at Crooked Media?
Oh, you can't ask
me
that.
Yes, I can. It's my podcast.
Yes, do not do this.
This has been an extremely fulfilling, wonderful experience, and I've learned so much. It is the most unique. I don't know if I can say this, but I feel like it's the most unique show at Crooked. And for that, it has been a beautiful, fascinating experience. It's the only Gen Z show at Crooked. So for those reasons, I think it's the most unique show that I've worked on here.
So camp.
Ooh.
So camp. So beautiful.
You know
camp.
What? We receive that. That is a very kind thing to say.
I can't pick favorites. That's rude.
Alicia, do you think you can pick favorites in life? I think you can.
We talk about this all the time. You cannot pick favorites. That's not right. You cannot pick favorites like with your children and like friends.
No,
that's not cool.
It's not cool and it's not true, but it is inevitably honest.
But you're like, Yaz will go, not to be dramatic or to gossip, but who's your favorite? And she'll do it about everything. And I'm like, that is not okay.
Also,
but no, wait, I want to ask Fia a question.
Okay, go on.
What do you think, what is the rose and the thorn about working on our show?
Like,
what's
Oh my gosh.
What's the high-low of the entirety of your experience working on
like
this show?
You're like Alicia's fat ass, Yasmin's tits, and then Josie's personality and face.
Yes. I only objectify women.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
One thing that I have to say first before we move on, though, is you forcing me to make a decision is hilarious because I am bi, I'm non-binary, I am polyamorous.
I can't
make decisions. You can't force me to make a decision.
And it's shocking that you're
and
not...
And we just put you on the spot.
Yeah, it's also shocking that you're not a Gemini.
Oh my gosh, I know. But I'm a Leo, so...
Yeah, you are a Leo.
Don't worry, there's fire within me. But to answer your question, high, low... on this show, the low, I'm going to answer that first, get that out of the
way.
Please. You guys are actors, so your schedules are crazy. I'm going to leave it there. The high is just being with you guys. I feel like every time you come into the studio and when you bring like a new friend, you revitalize the office. Like you bring such a sweet, like joy about you. And everyone that I've met who's connected to you does the same thing. Like you guys have the sweetest little friend group. So yeah, the community that you carry with you, I think, is the high of the pod.
But does the low override the high, or the high is just so fucking good?
I think we contain multitudes and we can carry multiple feelings at the same time.
Shit. Basically, they just said, they were like, y'all are fucking hard. But you know
also,
what?
But I love you.
You know what? Fee, I was going to say, you give media training royalty. That was beautiful.
Oh,
one.
Yeah.
And two, no. But two, let's be honest, like with our community, with our family, we definitely have to be like your most chaotic show, because I don't think people understand that like we are currently on three different time zones right now.
Literally.
And I don't think that people understand how much of a task that is logistically, making sure we're all in the same place and dealing with the adversity of how quickly things change for us. Because I think something that people don't know about acting, understandably, mm-hmm. it's like on the production side, is how much agency as actors we don't always have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that makes it super difficult to have any type of stability. And may I just say, shout out to our producers and people behind the camera and audio and lighting and everything that goes into making this podcast. You guys go above and beyond producing a great show, but also working with us in our very unconventional lives. So you guys deserve the utmost amount of credit, because, man, I can't imagine. I personally wouldn't want to like arrange a show with people who were actors, and you guys do it swimmingly well and give us grace.
Well,
so I would have been shook if you wouldn't have said that low, because I would have been like, babe, you know that low is us being in different places.
Well, I was just going to say, well, you'd be fucking lying to my face. And for that, you're cut. So I think there's so many things that we need to talk about. First things first, with this week's episode, something tragic happened, and that is Coachella, and that is Frank Ocean's performance.
The great tragedy of Coachella.
The great tragedy of Macbeth. No, Frank Ocean. I think we can give credit where credit is due for all the amazing festivals. Like, Rosalía's performance was un-fucking believable.
I love her.
Dominic Fike, Blackpink, Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny posting on the screen, like, Bad Bunny can sing this, can sing As It Was, but Harry could never sing any other fucking Bad Bunny song. And I was like,
Metro Boomin,
Future,
Dolce, Willow,
Calvin Harris. Sorry, that.
Kate Renata.
Like, everyone just killed it, except the one who didn't kill it was Frank. He was an hour late. He only was on stage for 30 minutes. Wow. And he was hiding behind something the entire time, and he barely sang.
Also, fun fact, may any listeners know, none of us have attended. We are simply like you, watching from the outside.
I will be attending this weekend, though. So I'll...
V, how do you feel about that?
I'm very excited, but it has been really crazy, like, seeing all this media attention come out. I was just trying to pull up a tweet that I saw that explained the whole Frank Ocean Coachella thing.
I saw that too.
Yeah. So apparently he was supposed to have like an ice skating rink on stage, and then he decided the day of the show, after like all of the manpower that went into building this ice rink and all of the training or all of the rehearsing that these ice skaters had to go through to like make the performance happen, he decided the day of his performance that he didn't want the ice rink anymore. And I think it was pretty clear that if he didn't get what he wanted, he wouldn't perform.
Wouldn't go on.
Yeah. So that's really...
Call it what it is. Tough. You're being a fucking diva.
He's being a diva.
No, I think you can call it what it is. And I'm sorry to say that. Like, you can be very... You both can exist at the same time where you... He is so talented. And his music, like Channel Orange is, I mean, Blonde. Look, some of the best records to ever be put out in history. I think I can positively say that. But also...
I agree with you. And...
Say it. Say it, Alicia. Say it.
No, I don't think you guys are going to like what I'm going to say.
That's okay. Oh,
I'm a Frank apologist.
Jesus suffering. Okay.
Alicia. Well, do not use their name in vain.
Okay, let's talk your shit then. If you're going to say something, back it up.
Listen, always. I stand 10 toes. I think that our man is grieving. I think that there are a lot of factors. And honestly, I don't know if this is a sign of my mental health or how insane I am, but I would have been happy to just hear him sing three songs.
Totally.
Like, if I would have heard Nights and Godspeed, I would have been good. What I do want to account for is that it is ridiculous that people to go to Coachella, the festival, spend thousands of dollars. I personally have a friend who waited there all day, standing in the exact same spot.
People were standing from 8 a.m. that day.
Literally.
Because of how much she wanted to enjoy their performance, and then for them to come out and not even come like downstage and really interact with the crowd and to lip sync half the songs.
Yeah.
And then to be pulled off. I will say, it is interesting that I think I read that Coachella is doing something we've never done in history and not like promoting or not tagging him and not really posting about Frank performance because of how disappointed they are.
Yeah.
Because the live stream didn't happen because of all the changes and him coming out late, which the live stream was promised to people. So now it looks bad on Coachella. So it is like, you know, on a larger scale, like we shouldn't be rewarding unprofessionalism or someone not taking into consideration the sacrifices that people made to be there. But I also like, I don't know, because I do respect that Frank hasn't put out music and takes like agency and understands like he has autonomy as an artist. That I respect. Yeah. But it's also, on the other hand, I do have a lot of respect for people that are like, then why'd you say yes? Why
because he was supposed money? To last
why
year.
Why did you headline?
He was supposed why to did last you headline? Year. People came to Coachella literally just for him.
Yeah, this has been teased for years.
He was supposed to come last year. And before that, the year before, but we had the pandemic. So year after year, and I understand he is grieving. He has like, he has anxiety. But I think we can both live in a place where you could be a good artist. You could be a good singer. You could put out great music. You might not just be a good fucking performer. And obviously we saw it and the nerves got to you. That is okay. But people shouldn't be spending thousands of their hard earned dollars. I sound like a fucking Republican. Our hard earned dollars. But like people shouldn't be like taking time off work, doing all of these things, being in the desert, having to buy rent a hotel room to see someone who genuinely doesn't give a fuck about them. Sorry.
Yeah. No, the respect should be mutual. I'm I hear you though, Alicia.
Like, sorry, we have the headliners of Bad Bunny, Blackpink, Metro, all of these beautiful artists. And I'm not saying Frank Ocean is an artist. He's an incredible artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you have to give a fuck about the people coming to watch you and support you.
But it's like, as much as I'm a Frank apologist, and obviously I couldn't be more biased because of how much his music has meant to me, I do validate every feeling that audience members had that were like, this is unfair.
Yeah.
Because we were promised something and we paid for that service and then we didn't receive that. And it feels disrespectful to people that have pined for you and yearned and fought to see you literally for years. Because what? This was his first performance in 7 years. That is astounding.
Yeah.
Most artists can't say that they would still have that support after that.
Yeah.
So it's like you do want to respect the time and the energy and the money of your fans who help you, you know, become this notable artist.
Right.
As much as I am a big fan of an artist having integrity and doing what feels natural to them, I am like, that's sucks. Because I have so many friends that have personal stories of this weekend that are just not it.
The grace should go both ways.
Agreed.
Okay, other than that, you had like, so I also have one more thing about Coachella, but like,
please.
People aren't going to Coachella anymore. They're going to the festivals that are happening outside of Coachella. People are going to Revolve Fest. People are going to like Don Julio moments. People are going to X, Y, and Z just to get the photo for the gram or for a brand deal, but not go to the festival. And I have to say, that's iconic.
Yeah.
Like, that's camp. Like, to be like, that's no, I'm not going to go to the festival, but I will go get that photo and I will get that brand deal and get that check. But I'm not going to go sit in dust for 12 hours. Good on you.
I mean, I think a lot of people who see a lot of celebrities at Coachella, their main critique is like, oh, so you're just here for the picture. Like, you don't actually care about the music. At least the people going to like Revolve Fest are being honest about where their priorities are at. They're like, yeah, you're right. I don't care about the music. I literally am just here to get pictures in the desert.
But not even about the music, because you can care about the music, but it's like, I don't want, it's like going to Coachella. Have you guys been?
Yeah.
Yeah. Alicia, you've been, right?
Never been.
Oh, we'll go next year together. We're going to Outside Lands this year, but it is exhausting.
Yeah.
Being in the desert, it gets freezing at night. And then you're like, what the fuck am I doing all day? You're like walking around, you're trying to get food. You're may or may not be on drugs. And you're kind of just like wandering in the sun in palm fucking desert. So it's like, it's exhausting to not want to go.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it makes sense. Festivals are not for everyone. They are for a very like limited amount of people who have the body capacity to handle being in the desert, walking around for 3 days, surviving on little sleep, etc. Like,
yeah.
Want to hear a funny story?
Hmm.
So when I first went to Coachella, which was my freshman year of college,
fun.
I went with my friends at the time, and I remember like I had like blonde streaks in my hair. I know, and it was like, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna have so much fun. I'm gonna roll. I'm gonna do all these things.
Sorority era.
Sorority era, yes.
Big facts.
And I went and I got so sick.
Yeah.
And if you know, I'm a hypochondriac. Like when I get sick, like I go to the I've been to the hospital being hungover just for a hangover. Because I thought I've called 911 on myself to take me into a fucking ambulance. Like that's just who I am. And I get that from my father. And that's for therapy. And so I called my parents and I lost my voice completely and I got pneumonia too.
Oh my
or at least
God.
So I Horrible. Thought. It was just bronchitis because I was vaping so much with the Juul. And I was like, I need to leave. I need to go home. And my parents were like, we can't get you home. And they're like, should we call you a car? Like a car, like they thought I was dying.
Wow.
Like that, they're like, what, do you need us to come to Palm Springs and pick you up? Are you okay, Yasmeen? Blah, blah. And I'm just like, I'm just hungover. And it's like vaping, like being out all day. But it's like Coachella is not something for the faint-hearted.
Yes, especially
that is what I'll say.
If you're going to do all the party things, which this episode drops on 420. So stay safe out there, kids. If
it's legal in California. It should be legalized everywhere.
Yeah, true.
I'm a big proponent on smoking weed.
No one should be in prison for weed.
No one should be in prison for weed.
Love you dearly, Kamala. But you've imprisoned a lot of black people for smoking weed in California, specifically the Bay Area. Get them out. Thank you.
And enjoy your 420. Be safe. Have fun. Rest and relax. But learn something about the prison industrial complex in America.
That's every day.
When it comes to scents, you should pick ones that smell like, well, you. Target gets it, which is why they offer a range of personal care products with fragrances for everyone. Be true to floral you with Dove Peony and Rose Body Wash. Live your fresh life with Degree Ultra Clear Deodorant. Express your decadent side with Love Beauty and Planet Coconut Shampoo. This spring, choose care that brings you joy beyond labels. Pick up new favorites at a Target near you or online at Target.com.
On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore One Nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer? The ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. New Miracle-Gro Organic raised bed and garden soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys who can't say the same. Looks like bad dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.
Here's to the paper pushers, the rush hour warriors, and the gotta get awayers. Trade the daily grind for a place to unwind, where you can rise with the tide and roll down the boardwalk, where you can eat french fries for lunch and ice cream for dinner, where your only commute is your walk to the beach, where every day feels like Saturday. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
So we're bringing back, also, sorry, I had to pause for a second because Alicia looks so beautiful. I just had for a second. Let's keep that in there. she looks fucking
gorgeous. I love you.
I miss her. Our next segment, we're going to be having a little game, a game that is so near and dear to our hearts. And that is someone, a group of people, a community of sorts. And that is the geriatrics, the elderly. That means upwards of 35 years old.
Yeah. You know, we're philanthropists here at Dare We Say.
Yes, we are, Alicia.
Talking about Coachella and how exhausting it is. We thought, you know what? We should really serve the elderly and give them advice, you know, because we're just so wise at our young ages of 24 and 25. You know, we just know so much about the world. We thought we would bring back one of our favorite segments, advice to our elders.
Yeah, I don't want to grow up so badly that I have to say that I'm also 24. No one's 25 yet. I'm not turning 25 for another couple months, but that's how scared I am of growing old.
Postpone the quarter life crisis. It'll happen. Don't worry.
I don't need to. I don't need to. But we have a couple questions. Shall we read it out loud?
Yes. Okay. So we have gathered some questions from Instagram, from the Crooked Staff, all from people who are, 30 or older, aka elders. To be clear, I'm 23, so I can also fill in some
they
Gen
will
Z
give advice
gaps.
Yes.
Okay. I also was gonna say Fee is with us, the young, the wise,
yes,
the all-knowing,
yes, the all-knowing Zoomers.
They're going to help us, you know, just educate these older generations. So
that's what we're here for. Okay, so first question that I want to ask, I'm going to start with a fun one. Is contour makeup here to stay? What are your guys'
Absolutely.
Mistakes?
I was going to say, yeah, 100%.
Absolutely. I will say, though, there is this new trend with contouring that a lot of people are doing because I think professional makeup artists are doing it a lot. And so now YouTubers and TikTokers are picking up is underpainting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like doing your contour like kind of before your foundation and then putting your foundation over that.
Word.
Which I do not do, but I don't think contouring is going anywhere because everybody loves a
stuff. Yeah, Alicia, that's the contour is here to stay. But what we're not going to do is have the 2015 highlighter that that just snatches you so tight that it's too much, that it's blinding your lights and will cause a car accident with if you get the headlights on it. We're not doing that, but contour is here to stay.
Yeah. In is contour that looks like skin.
Yeah.
Out is blocky, chalky contour, which was kind of a vibe.
Totally.
Back in the day.
Yeah. Very intense makeup looks happened back in the day. But I like that tip that you were talking about, Alicia, because I feel like that means I feel like there are issues with contour potentially going too dark on a lot of fair skin people.
I was just gonna say,
So I like adding the foundation on top because that will automatically even it out and make it look more appropriate.
Yeah,
for
yes.
your skin,
I think, and it's still good. Shaping your face. I was gonna say, some of us still need to learn the lesson that contour is supposed to enhance your natural beauty or give you a snatched dramatic look, but let's not get into like blackface or so dark that you are 20 shades darker.
Right. Yeah.
It's supposed to be a bronzer. Let's remember that.
Yeah, your neck should look normal.
Your neck should look normal. If you think that you're looking good when you're going 50 shades darker, you're not.
You're not.
You don't look good.
Next question.
Yes, next question.
Okay, what is the best thing about millennials? I can jump in real quick.
If you have something to say.
Yeah. So my brother is a millennial. He is 31 and he's like my best friend. I think that my favorite thing about millennials and specifically the relationship between Gen Z and millennials is that we have a lot of cultural overlap, but we are tapped into things on the other sides of the spectrum that the other might not know about, but we still know how to converse about it. So I feel like the balance of cultural similarities and differences is really nice when you're talking about the world and you can both learn things from each other because they have, you know, stuff on the older side and we have stuff on the younger side. And so we're helping each other out there. What are your guys' thoughts?
I think that's a great answer because I think that there are certain things with millennials that we can still resonate with together.
Yeah.
Whether it's like certain Disney shows or certain like Cartoon Network shows or even just like certain cultural events, there are things that we can go, oh, we remember those things. We were, I think, just different ages.
Mm-hmm.
I also say, as of late, I do think that Gen Z can get a bad rap sometimes, you know, oh, we're so immersed in social media or XYZ. But I do think that there is a group of millennials that really empower us and go like, you're the future and are very hopeful about us. Like there are a group of millennials that very beautifully say like, you guys speak in a way that we didn't or have access to information that we didn't and are using that properly. Like I've met many millennials in my life that I have wonderful relationships with and I look up to and I think give me wisdom, but also empower me and say, you know, you guys are different. You guys are better than us.
Yeah.
And having conversations that we aren't having. And I think that validates the fact that, you know, progress is happening. As much as the world can be daunting and scary, I think that that is a reminder of like, you know, we have to keep going and each generation hopefully is just going to improve upon the work that's being done social injustice wise.
Totally.
Equity wise and representation wise. I think that always helps me when I hear someone that I care and for and respect go like, y'all are doing good. Like the kids are all right. The future, you guys are more vocal than we were.
Absolutely.
I don't have much to say about millennials, to be quite honest with
That's
you,
fair.
Because I think growing up, We don't need to get too much into this, but like a lot of my relationships with the millennials in my life, it's always like, when I was your age, I never got away with that.
Yeah.
When I was your age, I didn't get to do that. And That's real. Lot of times of people who grew up with me, who were older than me, who used to always be spiteful of like me being younger. And it's not like, oh, because I'm young, but like, you know, we have more advancements than, you know, the millennials did, and millennials had more advancements than the baby boomers did, and so on and so forth. And so I feel like there's this resentment that millennials have towards Gen Zers.
Yeah.
And in turn, Gen Zers have a place of spite for millennials. Mm-hmm. And I could be wrong about this, because there's so many great things about millennials, and there's so many great things about all different generations, but that is what I have noticed.
Absolutely. I feel you. I feel like everyone is jealous of what the kids now have these days.
Yeah, but yeah. Focusing on that, and like, just live your own life. Yeah. Anyways, well, we can go to the next question. Yeah. Next caller.
If it makes you feel any better, millennials are inherently cringe. And I stand by that. Okay, next. Sorry, producer Caroline. Yeah,
well,
that's
true. You're not a millennial. Like, our producer Caroline, like, she is not a millennial. She's like an honorary. She's the generation that hasn't been born yet.
A zillennial.
She's the generation that has yet to be has yet to come out of the pussy.
Whoa.
Whoa.
I love being a millennial.
Don't say that out loud.
She's a cool millennial. She's not like other millennials.
Ooh. Okay. This next question, I'm very excited. What are your thoughts on Gen Z in the workplace?
You need us. You need us so badly, because I feel like we have a better work-life balance. Literally doesn't exist in America with capitalism, because you work 5 days a week and you only get 2 days off and 10 days of paid vacation. That's it. I just think we bring the spaz. We're the personality hire of the company.
I have two strong opinions. I think one of them would be Gen Z obviously is the future. I think that we bring a new type of life and creativity and innovation to a lot of spaces, because we want to break the mold. We want to be in more progressive spaces. We are very vocal, and I think that there's so much beauty birthed into that. And I hope that, like, we're in spaces where people value that. The fact that we are trying to reinvent, like, what workspaces look like. And I love the fact that we advocate for the harmony of more work and family balance. That's healthy. And I'm obviously all for dismantling capitalism and having more ease in our life. But on the other hand, I do question some of my peers' work ethic. And
I agree.
Like, if I'm just going to be very honest, I think that maybe is an unpopular thing to say. I do think that, like, we need to invite more ease and softness and, like, not feeling the need to be in a rat race. Like, I do not think that we should have to equate ourselves by our jobs the way, like, capitalism asks us to. Mm-hmm. But I do question, like, if there's a job that you've pursued and you are a part of and that you say you enjoy, what does, like, looking present and, like, having proper work ethic and being a good team player and doing your due diligence for that job looks like. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. It does. I want to harp on that. I feel
and
like
sometimes sometimes I question people's lack of ability to have perceptiveness and understand that, like, good things do take hard work.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean we need to sacrifice our mental health. Absolutely not. But I feel like I have approached certain Gen Z. I don't think it's most people, but there is a minority group that expects everything with ease.
See,
and expects everything with accessibility. And there's a sense of entitlement. I think that's a minority. I genuinely do. But
I completely agree with you, Alicia. I feel like, and this is a hot take, I feel like both of us, what we're saying, people will disagree with us, and the people who are disagreeing with us are Gen Zers. I think our generation is a little bit more relaxed. And another word for relaxed is lazy. Not a lot of people, but I think there's...
I don't think we're lazy, though.
It's a spectrum.
I think it's a spectrum of not lazy, but entitlement. And with entitlement comes laziness of people, things just getting handed to them. And obviously, this is not... majority of these people are the people who are like, who have grown up with so much privilege
mm-hmm.
and who have come up with, you know, everything handed to them in a silver spoon because they've had old money.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, they think that the that their life is just going to be with ease. But that's not the case at all. What do you know what I'm saying at all?
Yeah,
totally. I feel like, yeah. It's a range. There are the people who are entitled and expect things. And then there are also the people, like when I was in college, I feel like I was surrounded by people who were working so hard all the time. And I was always like, oh my God, if I take a break, I'm wasting time. Like I need to be productive. I need to be, you know, working on my career or whatever. I feel like it depends on the environment that you're in.
It depends on the environment, 100%.
I also think that Zoom school, for those of us who like went through that, totally had an impact on the way that people work, like,
and work from home too.
Yeah, I mean, Zoom school was all about shortcuts and cheating and just figuring out a way to get through the day while the world feels like it's crumbling, which leads to a lot of shortcuts and a lot of, I think, disillusionment, and that can lead to entitlement.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's definitely carried into the workforce. Like, it's very, I mean, that transition for anyone at any age was really difficult, but especially going from like Zoom school or just living on your computer to, okay, now I have to reintegrate myself into a society with people of all sorts of ages and not just people my age, and figuring out like how to manage those dynamics. I think we're all still learning what that looks like. We're so young. Like, it's hard to say what Gen Z in the workplace will end up looking like, because right now it's still definitely in flux.
I feel like it's also like we're still figuring out what a workplace looks like now after the pandemic.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are hybrid, work from home, don't work from home, come to the office. But also I've looked into it. A lot of companies are possibly thinking about doing the 4-day work week as well, which I feel like is so much better for everyone.
Which
we should be doing. There was a study about it, and you do have much more productivity with doing 4 days of work rather than 5.
Right.
Gen
Z just has to find the balance between like knowing our worth, knowing we have good ideas, knowing that we deserve rest.
And staying perseverant
about it. Being persevering and working hard and, you know, going through the turmoils and the struggles of a workplace and not just being like, this is dumb, I'm leaving, I have better ideas, I'll go somewhere else, you know.
Or I'm not going to care and I don't want to work with other people and I don't want to be collaborative.
I'm all
for reinventing the scope of what us working
together
as a society looks like. I think we need to.
Yeah.
I think how we work currently under the infrastructure that we live under is not sustainable.
No, it's not.
I think
it's
that
not.
It doesn't value people's personal life and mental health and family life. So I think that needs to happen. But I think it's beautiful, like what you said, Fee. I think we're figuring that out right now, what that looks like. And also what people's preferences are. And understand people that only want to work remotely, and there are people that enjoy the energy of going into an office every day.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's really beautiful that I think Gen Z is adamant of like living in our truth and figuring out like, oh, I don't want to work the way my parents did, and that's okay.
Boundaries.
So I'm gonna figure something new out.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Next question.
So 41-year-old mom here. Do you think we look dumb in current trends? Like, are we trying too hard?
Oh, shit.
Can I be honest? No.
Yes, please.
No. And maybe, but also subjective, because I love to see someone try and have fun. Like, if you're not hurting someone, and also, I'm like, what trends do you mean now? Like,
right.
If you're telling me you're trying to forcibly look like a 15-year-old, that is odd.
Yeah.
But if you're like, you have eclectic style and you like to make a TikTok and you happen to be 41, I think that's great. Life is short. Have fun. Discover new things. Like, if we're being honest, like, TikTok didn't exist. And if you like a sound and you want to make a TikTok, that's cute. That's cool. Like,
I
think we need to be easier on each other and then on ourselves. Like,
It
depends what trend we're talking about now, mama.
Embrace your cringe.
Embrace your cringe. Just do whatever you want to do, as long as you're not offending anyone or yourself or harming anyone or yourself. Like, live, laugh, and fucking love.
Yeah. I'm like, let's not put your job in jeopardy. Let's not maybe do anything too explicit.
Yeah.
But like, live, laugh, and love.
You know,
do what you gotta do.
To embarrass your children, But yeah, I'm like, the trends. If you want to put on the mischief boots, go ahead. You want to make
not the what are the
an Instagram
boots?
Reel? Go
oh my
ahead.
Gosh, the big chunky red.
Am I saying
boots?
It wrong?
The no, you're totally saying it right.
No, I don't know what those are.
Okay. Oh my God, inspired by Astro Boy the comic. So
oh, why are we, you guys? I'm tired.
I'm tired of the mischief
I'm so
boots.
Tight.
Okay, last question. Really, really fun. Put your party hosting hats on. If you are stocking for a party for a Gen Z crowd, what beverages should and should not be available for the party?
Do not have a Smirnoff Ices.
No.
Do not have Smirnoff Ices.
Ices are only acceptable if they are hidden and you're pranking.
If you're
someone.
Icing someone.
And yeah. If it's like a prank, but yeah. No ices.
I think what you do have stocked, even though I don't drink any of these beverages. You have Celsius, you have LaCroix, you have, what are alcoholic beverages that I see?
You could have a variety of different White Claws, but not a bunch. Because I feel like White Claws were such a big thing in our college days, but I think it's kind of over now. I feel like we're getting into the more of the mixed drinks. So we're going to have nice tequila.
Yeah.
We're going to be getting different types of vodka. And the only vodka that is acceptable is Tito's. That is
Go
it.
Off.
And we're going to be having...
Also the... The yellow Casamigos. I don't know what it's called, but I know people like
not
it.
Blanco. We're going to have Casamigos, or if you're a Kardashian bitch, 818. You're going to be having different types of drinks and mixers, and always have a stock pile of ice. Always have ice with you, no matter what you do. And we're going to have chips, a loaded amount of guac, salsa. You're going to have a charcuterie board, other known as a charcuterie board. What else do you have?
Absolutely.
Oh, photos. You're going to have Polaroid. There's going to be a Polaroid film camera on stock. You're going to have...
And a VHS camera now.
Yeah, a VHS camera. And you're going to have a little photo op. And what a photo op is a photo opportunity. A little moment that you have in the house or if wherever you have this where people can post about it. And a ring light. I feel like a ring light people will just always want to have.
I mean, if you're having a photo booth. That is convenient lighting.
Yeah. But other than that, just like good vibes, yeah. Good music.
Completely resonate. I will say, Alicia, on your point about making sure to be stocked with LaCroix and stuff, I threw a party recently and I bought just normal Topo Chico sparkling water. And that went like probably before the other beverages that I had. Yeah. No, people love sparkling water.
I'm shook. Everywhere I go, the girlies are drinking Celsius and LaCroix.
Yeah.
And I don't drink either of those, but I'm like more and more shook. I'm like, since when did we start drinking sparkling water like that? Like, I feel non-bougie because I don't enjoy sparkling water. But it's like literally every time we're at dinner, like two of my friends are always like, sparkling water.
Well, Alicia, whenever you and I go out, they'll be like, still or sparkling. You say still, I say sparkling. Like, that's just what it is.
I feel like when people... want to not buy, like not spend the money on a fun beverage,
but they still want
a fun beverage, they do sparkling water.
Yeah.
I also will say, I think Gen Z loves a hard booch, loves a hard kombucha.
You're
right.
Yeah.
A hard kombucha, also like gin and tonic, always tonic water, always have lemon and lime cut up.
True.
Have a good fucking time with good music and like not really give that much of a shit.
Yeah, the vibes matter more than the beverages, I think.
And that is it. I feel like that is all we have for our elderly geriatric community, our Roth IRA community, our 401k type
AARP.
Yeah, Alicia, AARP community.
Yeah. That was beautiful. Now you guys have tips on how to throw a Gen Z party, on what we may be bringing or not bringing to the workspace. Our connection to millennials was great.
Okay, so Alicia, Josie, and I have a little announcement for you all. And that is that next week's episode of Dare We Say will be our last episode of Dare We Say. We'll get into it next week's episode. We'll talk about why we've come to this decision. And then there's no bad news. There's no like, aw, why can't we do this? We're not being able to do this. We thought about it long and hard as best friends. And we feel like this is what's best. And we'll give you the tea on what's coming up next for all three of us. So make sure to stick around and we'll see you next week.
And in the meantime, wait, can I?
Yeah.
May I?
Yeah.
It would be an honor.
Yeah.
Make sure to like, comment, subscribe, listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes.
It's always
to say that.
It's always the most like normal, basic things that you guys say on the mic that I'm like, oh, it would be so fun to say that.
Well,
one
I'm glad
day.
You said it.
So,
yay.
Thanks for having me.
Yay. I'm so happy you said it.
Dare We Say is a Crooked Media production.
Caroline Reston is our showrunner, producer, and mommy. And Ari Schwartz is our producer and show daddy. Fiona Pastana is our associate producer, and Sandy Girard is the almighty executive producer.
It's hosted and produced by me, Josie Toda.
And me, Yasmin Hamadi.
And me, Alicia Pascual Peña.
Our engineer and editor is Jordan Cantor, and Brian Vasquez is our theme music composer.
Our video producers are Matt DeGroot, Narm Melkonian, and Dylan Villanueva, and Mia Kelman.
Lastly, thank you to Jordan Silver, Gabriella Leverett, Jesse McLean, Caroline Haywood, Shayna Hortzman, Daisy Cruz, Danielle Jensen, and Awa Okaladi for marketing the show and making us look so damn good.
As a chef and a restaurant owner, I'm as meticulous about my cookware as I am about my ingredients. That's why I love Made In Cookware. Each pan they make isn't just designed to perform, it's crafted to last. As a mom, I love that I can trust Made In. It's made from the world's finest materials, so I can feel good about what I'm feeding my family. I'm Chef Brooke Williamson, and I use Made In Cookware.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen, remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.